Amen. So I've been looking in the dictionary at some things to do with honor. You know what? I've found that it's not just the kind of Bible books, if you like, you know, concordances and such like, that are helpful when you're studying the Bible. I've found the good old dictionary very helpful as well. It's amazing what it draws your attention to and stirs within you. Here's some things about honor. The noun honor, meaning high respect or great esteem. Yeah? High respect or great esteem. For example, his portrait hangs in the place of honor. Yeah? Have you got pictures like that in your home? You know, there are certain people that go in certain places. Hey, I challenge you, shuffle the pack. Yeah? Right, what about putting the ones that are in the corner above the fireplace? Maybe that wouldn't work, would it? Yeah, but isn't that right? And we maybe give honor to people at the table. You know, if you're having a meal and you're welcoming people around, we're warned about that in God's word, aren't we? Not to be quick to seize the place of honor at the dinner banquet. You know, to rush in and take the seat at the head of the table. It's because of what Eric was touching on there, that thing of pride, you know, to hold a heart of humility, not looking to seize honor. But you know, when honor is given where honor is due, that's actually a beautiful thing, a very healthy thing. But even then, we need to be careful of it, you know, that it doesn't begin to fashion something unhelpful in our hearts. Yeah? So there's that type of honor. There is a title of respect or form of address. For example, given to a judge or such like, you know, you'd say, your honor. Because, you know, they're an esteemed, high-standing, supposedly, person in the community or in society. I tell you something, maybe not in the eyes of society, but certainly in the eyes of God, you have been given a greater name. You know that today. You have been bestowed a higher honor than that of MP, councillor, judge, or such like, even than higher than prime minister. Yeah. You know what it is today? It's child of God. Yeah. You who have believed in the Son of God have been given the right. Those who have been called by his name, who have believed in him, have been given the right to be known as the children of God. Wow. Wow. What an honor. What an honor. I could just keep going round in circles speaking about that, which maybe I did this morning. I don't know. But it is. It's a phenomenal honor. My goodness gracious me. Come on, let's do this. Pick up your mirror. Pick up your mirror. Pretend with me, will you? Come on. Look yourself in the face in that mirror and say, what an honor. I'm a child of God. That's just your hand. Why are you looking at it? What an honor it is. It's incredible. Another thing about honor is the quality of knowing and doing what is morally right. That's an honorable thing, isn't it? To do with that which you know to be right. Yeah? It's honorable. You know, for example, the child might be a friend of your child, maybe trying to lead them astray. And say, come on, let's do this or that. And they say, no, my parents have told me not to do that. It's not right, Betty. That's a line you would take. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, my parents have said, no, that's not the best for me, or it's not the kind of thing I should be doing. And they might say, oh, so what? Or really? Does that really matter? And you say, yeah, it matters. See, because you want to honor your parents. Another thing here, something regarded as a rare opportunity, bringing pride and pleasure. And I know for me as a Christian, there's no greater thing that brings me pleasure and delight than doing anything of worship for God. Any way to serve God and magnify him, be a blessing to people by serving them and kind of making them think about him or drawing them closer to him. Oh, wow. There's no greater honor than to serve the Lord, isn't it? Isn't that right? Yeah, well, we've got some volunteer sheets at the back today. I'm joking. But listen, sometimes we get opportunities to serve God, and hear me right here, we might be overburdened, overstretched, or unwell. That's a different criteria altogether. You know, it's not right. It would be unwise for us to take on an opportunity of service in such a situation. But aside from all of that, being unwell, overburdened, and so on and so forth, You know, sometimes we get an opportunity to serve God, to do something for Him, and we're like, I don't care. I'm not sure. Hold on a minute. Are you sure that you needed the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ on the cross? Oh, yes. Are you glad that He laid down His life for you? So if I pour in some tea at the table, oh, come on now, I wasn't met with joy, was it? Yeah, and I was just speaking about pouring tea. My goodness, I didn't go into the meaty stuff about going to Swaziland with £2 in your pocket. My goodness, we should be of a disposition when we come to the cross, we should be in a place where we say, here I am, send me. Here I am, use me. If I can be of any use in your service, O King, here I am, send me. Send me. The cross is a real leveler, isn't it? It's a real leveler. It should bring us to the right point of thinking and the right condition of heart. Yeah? It should. You know, when we come soberly and seriously to the cross of Christ, we should not be able to walk away the same. Yeah? We should not be able to walk away the same. Another couple of things here very quickly in respect to honor is regard with great respect. And do we regard with great respect the table of the Lord? Do we regard with great respect our brother and our sister? Do we regard with great respect the people in the community around us and our families and so on and so forth? The Lord said, didn't He? Love your neighbor as yourself. We'll look at more at some of these things as the weeks go on. Do we regard with great respect the Lord? We talk about reverence, about revering the Lord. That is, in many respects, to regard with great respect. To give Him the place of prestige and honor in our lives, high and above all other things. Yeah? I mean, hold on a minute. The Lord gave me children. And should I not love them more than God? No, we should love them like we love God. Yeah? We should love them as best we can by the grace of God. You see, God is first. Without God, we won't be able to be the parents we can be to them. And we'll never give them the example that they need. We need Him at the fore. We need Him to be first. Okay, so just some things I thought would help us there to think about honor today. You know, in a short time, because a service is running away from us, we've had communion today, and that's fine. So I don't want to take too long. But so in the minutes that are left with us here, I want to talk to you about how God honors us. Do you know that He honors you? Yeah, He honors you. Maybe we are uncomfortable, like Eric, in receiving honor or awards. I get that. I'm like that. I'm not uncomfortable in receiving presents, by the way. If you'd like my address, I can give you that. But honor, you know, people saying, oh, you know, come on up, you know, I've got some things we'd like to say. And I'm like, oh, no. You know, I wouldn't say that, but inside I would feel like that. Is anyone else like that? Yeah, you maybe don't want people making a public fuss of you. Yeah, but if you want, you write me a letter. I'm a letter kind of person. Yeah, write me a letter. You know, send me a card. Send me a text. Means a lot to me. Does that mean a lot to you? Oh, look at that. There's a lot of us like that. What does that tell you? Maybe we could honor and place in high regard one another by making it our mission to encourage one another and to affirm one another by such ways. Yeah? A little letter, a little text. It doesn't take much time, does it? But it can make the world of difference for one another. And here's some letters, if you like, or some contents, if you like, from the letter of God's heart to us to remind us of things that we probably well know. That He loves us. He loves us. Come on, pastor's favorite verse, 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God. The children of God, and that is what we are. Song of Solomon 2 verse 4 says, He brought me to His banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. Was love. You see, oh, God's honored us because he loves us. No, no, no. Listen to what the Bible's saying there. He brought us to his banqueting house. You know, there's not everybody that gets to go and dine at his house. It's not everybody that finds himself in a position that they can go and dine at his house. It's because of what Eva was reading out, for example, today, that we can come in that position because our own filthy rags are taken from us and we can stand before a holy God in the righteousness of Christ. And then the Bible says it's because of that we can come as dearly beloved children, not fearfully or timidly, but we can come right into the presence of God. Right into the presence of God. Whilst the world at large is shut outside. We are a privileged people. He's got a seat with your name in it. You know what? He's got a seat at the table with your name in it. He's prepared a place for you. When this life is past, you need not fear, child of God. When this life of toil and trouble is over, he's prepared a place for you. He is there even now. It's one of the reasons that we're still here. Because that place is not yet ready. Make you wonder what it's going to look like. He says, fear not. He says, if I go, I will return. And I go to prepare a place for you. Yeah? That where I go, you may be also. Yeah? He's preparing a place for you. What an honor. You're like, hold on a minute. Was it? I was blown away that I got to be a child of God. I was blown away that I could be cleansed of my sin, that I could be born again. I get to dine with the King of Kings. Yes, every day. You don't need to wait till glory for that. Every day you can come in and you can feast on his treasures. Yeah? Read more of the Song of Solomon to get your head round about that. He's all sorts of delicacies to be found. It's pictorial in the Song of Solomon, but it's speaking of the goodness of God that awaits you if you would rest and abide in his presence. What an honor. And one day he's coming. He's coming for the elect of God. He's coming. One will be taken and another will be left. We've asked this question before, and I know it's not just a boy thing, but remember in the playground, boys, when we were little, and we'd be going to play football, and there would be two lads, and they would be picking the teams. Hands up, girls, if you were involved in that. See, it's a modern world. It's a modern world. And this one, pick this one, and this one, and the numbers are getting smaller and smaller, and you're still standing there, and you know what's coming, don't you? I'm going to be the last dude. Nobody's going to pick me, yeah? And we can end up being the referee, George. We can joke about it. We can remember what that was like. But let me tell you, church, on a very serious note, there is coming a day where the King of Kings, not a little momentary captain of a boys' football team, when the King of Kings is going to return to this earth, and some are going to be taken, and some are going to be left. They're not going to be left to join a team at the end. They will get another opportunity. But in that moment, they'll be left behind. Yeah? It's harrowing, isn't it? It's a harrowing thought. One will be taken, Lord Jesus says, and another will be left. Two women will be grinding in a mill. One will be taken, another will be left. Two men walking up a hill, one will be taken, the other will be left. Two people lying in bed, one will be taken, the other will be left. He says, be alert and of a sober mind because you do not know which day the Son of Man will come. He'll come like a thief in the night. Twinkle of an eye, boom, gone. Some will be taken, some will be left. You that belong to him, you that are numbered as his, named as his, children of God, you have that honor. You're going. VIPs on the plane. You see, he honors you. And he honors his commitment to you and to me. He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to see it through unto completion. And that work will not be complete until you're on that plane. It's not a plane. You get that, right? Whilst we meet him in the sky and we're not getting on a plane. Yeah. The Bible says that the cry of an archangel and the sound of a trumpet, the angels of God, the Son of Man will come and he'll commission the angels of God to gather those that are asleep in Christ will be rise from the grave, and the angels will go to the four winds of the earth, and they shall gather those that are marked by the Holy Spirit, and they'll meet in the air, and they shall ascend. What a day that will be. What an honor. Oh, man. I seen Eric's post on Facebook this week, and I thought, wow, he was at the PNJ, you know, this big fancy new community center, and he got this award and photos, and you know, the guys with the suits that you can't afford to hire, they were all standing there beside him, and I thought, wow, fancy gig. Wow, what an honor. And you might think, oh, it'd be great to be asked to do this or to do that, the next thing. We're going to meet him in the air. Hallelujah. Hello? My goodness. Come on, mirrors out. Come on, church, where are you? Get those mirrors out. I'm going to meet him in the air. What an honor. Wow, what an honor. We are honored of God. So he loves us. He owns us. Corinthians says, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And you know what? He's jealous for you. He's jealous for his own. Matthew 13, 44 to 46 says this. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And you know, I thought about this first statement that Jesus made here as I was preparing for today. And I used to think of it another way, but I believe God showed it me from the other end, right? And then it's this, that you see, it's talking about Jesus coming back, you see? Jesus is talking about himself coming back here. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven, and because just either before or after this, he's talking about the wheat and tares, yeah? And you know, you've got to let them grow together, otherwise you destroy the both. But when he comes, you know, he'll gather the harvest to himself. So it's about the kingdom of heaven, but it's also about the second coming of Christ. So thinking through that lens, if you like, Jesus is saying here, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hid in a field. The field of the human heart, I believe. The field of this world, you might say. But in the field of this world, he came, didn't he? He came and he sowed in the seed of the kingdom. Yeah? Remember when Jesus was here and he was ministering, that he would say, the kingdom of God is at hand. And he would speak the mysteries of the kingdom. He would release the hidden truths, the deep truths of the kingdom, the seed of his word, his spoken word, into the hearts and lives of people. And they that received it received him. And they were, and that seed took root and grew up. A well was established, welling up into everlasting life. The mystery and power of the kingdom of God. But you see, I believe he's saying here, whilst I sowed it in to him and him, they were like seeds that became plants. But now this is, it's taken over a whole field. You see, the family of God is no longer consigned to a handful of guys in Palestine. No, unto the ends of the earth. My flock is not just a twa three beasties in a shed over here. No, my flock is great and vast and spans the whole earth. So now he's coming back for this peril, but he's coming back for the field. He's coming back not just for the sheep. He's coming back for the flock. How wonderful is that? The bridegroom will return for his bride. She is beautiful and she is vast. She is vast in number. The Lord's buried this sealed seed into this world. And 2,000 years later, we are product of this great farmer. We are product of the sower. It's just the same as you in your garden, you that do your garden, and you sow in seed. But it multiplies, doesn't it? It multiplies. It comes back next year, and it's bigger than the year before. It's 2,000 years ago Jesus sowed this seed. Wow! It's a vast and glorious kingdom, a beautiful bride that he is coming back for. His promises are yes and amen. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll complete the work that he has begun. Ezekiel 34, 31 says, "You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord." Listen to this from Psalms 45, from verse 14. "The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you," that is to God, "and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear the cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy." 1 Samuel 2:30 says, "Those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained." You see, when we put Christ at the center of our life, when we choose Christ, it's just like that old story of old. You've maybe heard it before, you've maybe not, but you'll love to hear it again. That there was a wealthy rich man, and he loved his son with all his heart. He loved his son with all his heart, and he had this picture commissioned to be painted of his son by a famous artist. It was a beautiful picture, but the thing was, is his son was, you know, he wasn't the most beautiful to look at. You know, he was quite ordinary and a little rugged, but to the father, there was no boy like his boy. It was the most beautiful son, and to him, of all the pictures and of his house, it now had pride of place. Like the picture I was speaking of earlier in your home, this one hung above the fireplace while others were in the darkened corners. His son was to die, and a number of years later, the father was to die, and there was an auction that took place, selling off all his goods. There was nobody else related to the wealthy landowner left on the earth. So they conducted an auction to sell off all his belongings. But there was some things written into his will. Yeah, and the auctioneer that day says, right, there was all these beautiful gold, fine lampshades and beautiful furniture and different things, articles worth millions, some of them, that were awaiting sale, all ticketed with the potential buyers purring over them. But first of all, said the auctioneer, before we get to the wider sale, it is written in to the will for the executor to sell first and foremost the picture of the owner's son. And he held it up, and it was a little dusty around the frame. And he says, who will give me 50 pounds? And I'm like, for goodness sake, look, it's not even pretty. It's not even pretty. And it's like, who will give me 40 pounds? Oh, come on, get on with the real stuff, another was heard to cry. Who will give me 20 pounds? Come on, you're wasting our time, said another. Who will give me 10? The gardener, who was a faithful servant of the landowner all those years and actually loved the son, but was a very poor man. He only had 10 pounds in his pocket. And there were some other items that he would have liked to have bought, but he loved the son and he loved the painting. And he'd taken his 10 pounds out of his pocket and he says, I'd like to buy the son. I'd like to have the son. Sold, and thus the sale is complete. Everybody looked puzzled and stunned. Says, this is an outrage. Come on, continue with the sale. No, said the auctioneer. It was written into the father's will. He who has the son has everything. You see, for some, what was an obscure object of ridicule or something that somebody that was just seemingly getting in the way of the real fun and the joy of the moment, actual fact, he was everything. First John says this, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. You see, in Christ, we have the honor, as we are picking up today, I'm sure, not just, can we say that, of forgiveness. We have the privilege of all good things. In Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors, and we stand as co-heirs with him, inheriting the blessings and promises of God. Wow. 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 we are highly honored. We are like the gardeners that were poor in our own estimations and in the eyes of this world, absolutely very poor and lowly. But yet we stepped forth, and in receiving the Son, as lowly as we were, we received more than we would ever have been able to bargain for. We stepped forth for forgiveness that day, didn't we? We stepped forth for mercy, and we received a life abundant. He who has the Son has it all. He who has the Son has it all. Time is running away from us, and I'm on a mission to finish these services no later than 5:30. Can you give me 10 minutes? Is that okay? Who said no? I'm praying for you now. Let's try 5. Come on. Here's the thing the Lord spoke to us this week. We had a great time of prayer this week. And the Lord was speaking to me about free refills. Do you believe that? Have you ever been to one of these restaurants and you go up and you can get free refills? We like them, don't we? You can get more Coke or you can get more coffee. You know, whatever it is your thing. Yeah. And I read this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. This is what made me think of free refills. It starts out here, a letter, right, which is written by Paul to Timothy. And says, "To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." There you go. Free refills. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah. New every morning. New every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God, as it was for the Israelites in the desert who had to wait upon the Lord daily for fresh provision as they trusted and sought him and waited for him, fresh provision they received. You know, you might come here today and you walk out of this place with peace and liberty, a little click in your heels, but a little whisper of dread in the backdrop of your heart. But what if tomorrow I want to tell you free refills? Free refills. If there was mercy for today, there's mercy for tomorrow. You know, when we go up to these coffee machines today, we don't just go up with our little cup. Now we go up with our cheeky hot carrier. What do you call these things again? Yeah, the carry cups. You go up and it keeps you good for the day. You know, it's what God wants to do for you. Young Christians, hear me today. When you put Lord first at the beginning of your day, he'll fill you for that day. He'll give you a grace for that day that'll prove to be more than sufficient for the things that you'll come up against, even if you've never been there before, even if it's challenges on you. He'll give you a grace for it. He'll carry you through that moment. You know, he'll give, if you come with your keep hot cup, you think, but I'm just a broken vessel. Amen, yes, you are. But if you put yourself before the Lord, he'll fill you with his Spirit afresh. Yeah, and the glory won't be of you, it'll be all of him. You see, we have this treasure, Paul said, didn't he? And this treasure in earthen vessels, a grace that is more than sufficient. No matter what has went before, we can have a new day in him, any day and every day when we choose Christ. So it's great to be here today, to be stirred today, but I want to challenge you, church, choose Christ tomorrow. Choose Christ Tuesday. Choose Christ Wednesday. I want to encourage you again. It's all paid up front. You know, when you go into these restaurants, you pay the price when you go in. You go back up. Then I say, that'll be another pound. No, because it's free refills. You see, Christ paid it all once and for all. Once and for all. It's yours to have. Go get your mercy. Go get your grace. And in so doing, you'll get yourself a bag load of peace thrown in. See, without mercy, without awareness that I'm free, and he who the Son sets free is free indeed. There's a grace that is not of our own, a strength and a disposition to be able to walk through this troubled life with our heads high, not in our arrogance or self-confidence, but with the authority as a child of God. There also comes thrown into the package a peace that goes beyond all understanding, because I've confessed my sin and he's been faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I've looked unto him, the author and perfecter of my faith. So he has said over me, it is and shall be well with your soul. So I can go into this interview. I can go to face this doctor. I can go into this troublesome situation or challenging opportunity, and I can go knowing that God is with me. And if he be for me, then who can stand against me? You say, but yeah. But what when I go to the doctor and I get that diagnosis that I wasn't asking for, where was God then? He does not always promise to deliver us of the sickness, but he commits to being there with us. Yeah. Sometimes the fire is dampened, but I can guarantee you this, when it's not, the Savior is never absent. Yeah. He'll be with us in the fire, remember? He'll be with us in the fire. He'll be with us through it all. Put Christ first. No God, no peace. No God, no peace. Put Christ first.